You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello world, what separated your deep ball from everybody else?
My deep ball, it has a little secret sauce to it, man.
I never get too high, never get too low, but just keep moving.
The whole story is Carlos never beat me in any kind of sports in high school.
Welcome to the Orange is the New Black podcast. I'm your host, Ace Boogie, joined by my co-host, Zim Huda. Zim, say what's up.
Hello world, how's everybody doing tonight? We got a special guest. We got the Burrow, baby. Kyle guy himself with the Sacramento Kings live in effect. How you doing tonight, Kyle?
I'm doing good, y'all. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you being here, man. I know we talked to you off the air just a second ago. You just finished practice. How do you feel? Do you feel like you want to just fall out on the ground and tell people what is that like right after NBA practice?
During COVID, it's a little different than last year. This is my second year, my rookie year. Like, you know, we get after it and I think a lot of people have this conception that, like, we don't really practice and stuff like that. We do. It's just 82-game season. It's not going to be as long as a college practice where that could get up to 3 hours, no problem. But during COVID, man, like, we have so few practices and we got so many games back-to-back this year. And after a back-to-back, it's automatic off day. So, you know, the practices have been a little lighter. They're trying to, you know, make sure guys stay healthy and whatnot, because that's been an issue. But it's been a blast, man.
Definitely. So obviously you're a huge diehard Bengals fan, but you're a hooper too. Did you ever think about, like, a potential football career? Obviously you made the NBA. You're an elite basketball player, but did you ever think about football?
Yeah, that was my first love. The only reason I quit football is because in eighth grade, I got a Division II offer for basketball, and I wasn't growing like everybody else for football. So I was like, maybe I should just see how far this will go. I had a back injury in football. I'm like, let me just stick to basketball. Growing up, my dad was my coach from first grade to sixth grade. We won 2 Super Bowls as the Cincinnati Bengals in Indy, which was awesome. So that was my first love. We were in a magazine because we were in fourth grade running the spread offense. Like, football has always been pretty much number one sport in my life. But now it's tied for first with basketball. So
I gotta ask, which positions did you play when you played football?
Yeah, I was quarterback.
Okay.
Which is, yeah. So
addition.
And then when on defense, because I was tall and lanky, so I played defensive end. But anytime the other team got in shotgun, I would just go back and play safety, because they they're throwing it; they're not doing any like RPOs or anything like that. So,
do you secretly, I guess, watch like football game? Like, how close are you to watching football now? Like, does it, you know, like, I always watch people like rappers and stuff want to be basketball players. Is it the same way with like professional basketball players? Do you secretly just be like, damn, I could go out there and go do it still?
Yes. I don't think I'm pretty realistic. I'm not going to be like, yeah, I'd run over Ray Lewis or anything like that. But like, I really feel like I could play a little bit of wide receiver. It's funny because before every practice, like, me and like 3 teammates, we make sure we have a football and we just like run routes against each other, like play one-on-one. It's so fun. So yes,
what teammates?
It's me, Justin James, Robert Woodard. He's a rookie. Fox always talks like he's, you know, because he's fast as hell, but he's like, yeah, I'd be a great wide receiver, but then he never does it. So, but we get after it. It's fun.
I guess piggybacking off of that too, like, tell us about, I know you were telling me just now, shout out to your father, who knew who I was, which I thought was like crazy, who knew me and Ace were, which I think nobody knows me at all. But just talk to me like early on, like when did you become like a Bengals fan? I know like most of it maybe was on the strength of your father. Were there any influences like early on that you just really remember?
Yeah. So I really didn't have a choice, if we're being completely honest. Like as soon as I was born, that's how it was. Like when my little brother was born, my dad pulled my stepmom aside right before the baby shower, and he's like, "We need to talk about something serious." And she's like, "Oh crap! Like, what are we about to talk about? Like, baby shower? You know, I'm 6 months pregnant, whatever." And he was like, "Look, I know you're from Indianapolis, but I don't want to see anybody bringing in some Colts onesies, pacifiers, anything like that. Like, he's a Bengals fan. He's 18, then he can decide." And she was like, "You mother, like, what are you doing? You staged this, all dramatized it and shit." So, but yeah, I mean, I didn't have a choice. But once I like was balls to the wall, once I like actually could understand, and you know, growing up, obviously, it's really hard to root against Ochocinco when he's on your team, and like he has one of the greatest influences in NFL history. So, like,
facts.
It was really easy to get behind that. And then we had Palmer, Houshmandzadeh. I met Peter Wark at a Waffle House. Like, that was just like in
Cincinnati, right next to the Raddick. Me and Ace are big time Wark fans, bro. Like, me and Ace are like, we very rarely meet. Like, we talk to people all the time about Peter Wark, and they be like, "What?" And on the show, we show them so much love on it. Like, I'm dying for the day.
If you were a fan, like in our era, like Zim and Kyle are saying, like, Peter Wark was like that guy. Like, yeah, he might – some people feel like he didn't live up to the hype, but to us it was like – my very first jersey was like a P-Dub jersey. And it's crazy because I was telling Zim, and I always tell this story, back in 2017 when we picked Ross, I was living in Tallahassee, Florida. So P-Dub is big there at FSU. So yeah. I walk in with my T.O. Bengals jersey on to this draft party that my friend invites me to, and I see P-Dub at the bar. So, you know, immediately I make a beeline over to talk to P-Dub, and that was one of, like, the dopest draft moments that I've ever had, because usually I'm at home watching it by myself or something like right. that. But to be able to watch it with P-Dub and for him to show us love because we were Bengals fans and had that connection, because nobody there was Bengals fans because we were in Florida, right? But the two dudes being there and meeting P-Dub was just a dope moment for sure.
That's sick. It's funny you said that was one of your first jerseys. So my first two jerseys I got at the same time. I didn't buy them. It was presents from my dad. It was Carson Palmer and Odell Thurman.
Woo! I still got an Odell Thurman.
Hey, so I was
like,
that's
like random though, right? Like, you got
Odell Thurman. Nah. At the time, bro, Odell Thurman was that guy. that's no more random to me than like somebody like one of my first jerseys that I could really remember. It's like Malaluga, and at the time it doesn't seem like that much now, but like at the time though, Malaluga was like, you know, a big deal.
After that draft, it was a big deal. Yeah, my brother got me one of those after that draft. But Thurman just means that you were really in the trenches, bro. That means that you were really in the Houday Nation, because it's still people to this day that are like, bro, why did we let Odell Thurman go? There's still people to this day that still talk about Odell Thurman. For sure. Like, before Tez, it was Odell Thurman, bro. Right.
For sure. I mean, so being from Indianapolis, everyone's a Colts fan, and they're winning a Super Bowl. They got Peyton Manning. Man, it's so frustrating because every year I'm that guy, and me and my dad, we're like, this is it. This is our year. And every year just kind of like, don't quite meet the expectations. That is so tough for a elementary school, the middle school kid, like around a winning, like surrounded by a winning city. Like,
but you know, miserable. What's so great about you being on here right now is that, and I know you're probably going to think I'm like, just jiggling your nuts or whatever, but listen, you being a champion and being a Bengals fan means a lot to a lot of people. I don't think you realize, like, if you guys haven't followed the story and just watched it, you know, the championship run with the Virginia Cavaliers, please make sure you guys go check it out. Because even if you're not, like, a fan of, like, college basketball, like, Kyle Guy was a big, big factor, like, in that run. Can you tell everybody, like, what is it like? Like, there's a Bengals fan that's starving for a championship. Like, what is it like like the run going through it, like when you feel like you're really close, and then you know these moments that we get as Bengals fans, and we're like, oh, and then to finally get over that hump, like just right. Walk us through some of that stuff.
Yeah, so obviously we had the huge upset the year before, so there's all this revenge or redemption, whatever you want to call it, like have this chip on your shoulder the whole following season. We end up being the number one seed again. And from game one, again, every game was close. Like, we had these defining moments where, you know, we had to get over the hump. We had to, you know, dig deeper and find ways to win. And that's, like, that's why you play sports, kind of, is, like, obviously a win, but, like, go through those moments, like, those defining moments, like, when I hit the free throws in the Final Four, the game before that where we had the buzzer beater in overtime, or the championship, which also in overtime, like, they'll define you in life also, like those moments that you're able to continuously overcome. So to be corny and cliche, I take that to being a Bengals fan. It's like I keep getting knocked on the chin every year, but one year it's going to pay off. So,
nah, that's facts. That's real. The one thing I got to ask you, though, is I know everybody always asks you about the tournament, but March Madness, I really can say that there's no playoff in sports that's intense from, like, game one to the end like March Madness. Do they allow you guys – obviously, everybody fills out their brackets. Do they allow you guys as players to fill out your own brackets, or is there, like, any kind of gray area or anything like that?
Nah, super – it's not even a gray area. Super not allowed to. Which, like, I get it, but it was weird for 3 years – because I was there for 3 years not filling one out, because every Thursday and Friday, all I did in high school and middle school was I would fill out brackets and I would go to B-dubs with my friends or with my dad or whatever to go to watch the game. So it was weird, like, not filling out my own bracket. But maybe I did a few on the side. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. Allegedly.
I wanted to keep this to myself, but you did kind of kill my bracket that year. But I wasn't mad, though. Like, I got to the end, like I always do, and I'm like going into my Final Four, and I think I got knocked out like right at the Final Four. But to follow your story was like super, super dope. And then to move it forward, just the life of a champion like myself at home, I won it this past year when nobody played. So right. I have nobody played. Like, I have this thing with like 10 dudes that we play like every year, like five of us play and I won. I still talk my shit, but you know,
right.
I got my redemption.
Yeah, you got your redemption, I got mine, so we're good.
Yeah, I'm about to say you got yours forever. Like, that's yeah, like, but I just think I really, really, really want people to understand, like, yeah, like this guy won a championship and he's like one of the biggest Bengals fans I know in the league. So talk to me about the video. And this is the one thing I was telling you too, about the Burrow baby one, because everybody kept on sending it to me thinking like I knew you or something. I'm like, nah, right. I don't know him. Like, nah, like I didn't know. That's how I knew, because I already had Burrow babies and stuff and whatever. Right. Like, is that something you always say, or is that like what?
Man, it's honestly funny how that like came about. One, it was just like a kind of a reaction, but like that was like one of the first times going into a draft like we knew who we were taking for in a while. Right. And so like I'm sitting on the couch, I like got the butterflies like I'm a kid or something, and like he got announced and like I got hyped. I said, Burrow, baby, because I know I had said it before, but I didn't remember until like later on. So I was in the G League a lot this past season. And in the G League, you gotta have a roommate. So you leave the room to yourself on the road. And so I was with this big cat, Eric Mika, played at BYU. He's overseas playing. He had a 10-day with the Kings last year. Super good dude, good player. We were sharing a room, which like is not super ideal as 22, 23, 24 year olds. You know what I mean? But like, we just like made the most of it. And every single time he got in the bed and he was like trying to get comfortable, he was like saying he was getting in a Burrow. And so he would like scream like Burrow baby. And I just started laughing and we'd go to sleep or whatever. And so I think that's kind of how like or why I said it is because I had heard it before so many times from his ass. But now I have a better story because you had Burrow baby first. I gotta get a shirt or something.
See, I don't know the timeline on everything, so I don't even want to claim that. But I will say, me and Ace were one of the first people to take a lot of stones because we kept on talking to everybody about tanking, and then everybody was saying, well, you guys aren't real Bengals fan, but we identified this player that we were like, dude, this could change our whole lives if we get this guy. And it's the one time I've ever rooted for us to lose, and we lost and we won with Joe Burrow. So,
well, I mean, I'm not gonna, let's just be candid. Even if you're rooting for us to win, we probably would have been in the same spot. So,
right,
they can say what they want.
Right, at that time and everything that's going on now. Fast forward to now, we got a big draft coming up a couple nights from now. I don't know if you guys have been following. If you and whoever you talk to about Bengals, because now you got two other people that you could talk to Bengals about.
Right.
Anytime you want, just shoot us a text. Have you talked to anybody about it? Have you been watching any of this stuff? Me and Ace have been doing a series called The Civil War, where we made up Team Chase, Team Sewell, and we've been putting all of these different personalities against each other. And we've had them argue it out. It'd be TJ Houshmandzadeh, Hugh Jackson. The list goes on. It was super crazy. Do you have a team that you feel like you're on going into the draft?
Oh, my God. So,
or is it one of the things that you haven't watched it enough that you don't?
No. I've paid all attention.
Okay.
Everything. I am the type of person that if these two guys are so great, right, and these are the – like, we want – if we can have both, we should have both. I would be doing everything in my power to get pick 4 or 6 on top of 5. We don't need first rounders next year or the year after if we're getting these two guys who are – I mean, they're saying Sewell's a Pro Bowler the second he puts a helmet on. They're saying Chase is, like, taking our offense to the next level right away. But if I had to choose a team, I'd probably go Sewell just because it doesn't matter if you have the weapons if you can't get the ball off. And as much as I would probably rather have Chase, I think it's like you got to address the needs first. We got offseason signings and whatnot. But I'd probably go Sewell. But there's a part of me that obviously being from Indianapolis, they praise Chris Ballard all the time, which he actually is a very good GM, good at what he does, great drafting. And he said this is one of the deepest O-line drafts he's seen in a long time. So then it's like, okay, I could be Team Chase and we could get, the cat from Notre Dame or Stanford or Alabama. Like, there's a lot of them.
There's some guys.
And you can play flip-flop, too, because the Terrence Marshall kid from LSU might be there, too, at 38. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I'll go Team Sewell, though, for your sake. I'll go Team Sewell.
Nah, that's not for his sake. That's for my sake, because I'm captain of Team Sewell. He is captain of Team Chase. But I think, like we've always said, either way, and the biggest point is, either way, you get a good player. Like, if you get Jamar Chase, you're not going to be mad about that. If you get Panay, you're not going to be mad about that. Even if you get Kyle Pitts, I don't think you'll be mad about it. But, like, you said something major there. You said Chris Ballard, who's the Indianapolis GM, is also acknowledging how many good offensive linemen there are. So if the Bengals do that, we feel like they'll get killed by the national media. But if they come back in the second round and get one of those guys like you named, then I think they'll be good to go.
Yeah, I think the most important thing in this draft is not pick 5. It's the next two picks. It's the next two picks are the most important.
I said that to somebody earlier today. I wouldn't be surprised too. This is two different things that's going to happen or whatever. If 4 quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4, then you got to think, like you were saying earlier, whatever, like not just getting one guy, you got to think the phone lines are going to be off the hook, because now the number 5 spot is essentially like the number 1 pick for as far as any prospect outside of a quarterback. So Dallas is a team that's been, really, really attached to Kyle Pitts. There's a couple of teams that are really, really that really want like Kyle Pitts, but they want to see him get past Atlanta first. I think that's one thing that's going to happen, is that there's going to be a big opportunity to trade back. And then also the second round, as you were talking about all those guys, I think that there's going to be a tremendous opportunity to trade out of that pick as well and maybe come out of that with like two guys as well. But those things will remain to be seen. But you did mention a bunch of good guys that some of us think they'll be there. Some of us don't think that they'll be there.
Yeah.
One thing I want to ask you, Kyle, is with the current team, who are some of your favorite players? Because sometimes we get Bengals players that watch this, and I'm sure that they probably watch you in the league do your thing. So who are some of your favorite players on the Bengals?
Oh, man. Well, most of my – from my middle school on, all those favorite players, A.J. Green, Zeno Atkins, you know, all those guys aren't with us anymore. So, obviously, this year was about, like, I got to, like, see some new faces and, like, get attached to those players. So, T. Higgins off the bat. I mean, obviously, Joe Burrow, but we're not even going to talk about him because he's everyone's favorite player. But, like, T. Higgins – Jesse Bates being an ACC guy, like I saw, and I went to Virginia, so I saw him play. Let me think. I mean, Javon Bernard is another one. He, the mustache, like that was my guy. Like one of my favorite memories for some reason was Halloween when he did that, had the Miami run. Like when he was, I don't know, I forget how far he ran. It was over 100 yards, but it was only 50 yards touchdown. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
total 100 yards or whatever.
That highlight and that Jerome Simpson flip, probably to me, like two of the most iconic Bengals highlights over the last 10 years for sure.
And then you can just name a Chad Ochocinco celebration, and those are the best ones right there. So
just to keep you up,
because he's an actual, like he was a Bengals fan too, so that made me like him even more.
For sure. And you mentioned Ochocinco earlier today. Earlier in this interview, is that Ocho is going to have a special write up coming up too to watch out too. And it's just talking about the generations that he brought in of fans that kind of linked in like what you were saying or whatever. And I think they got me and Ace speaking on that a little bit too. So be on the lookout for that. But I think it's really dope because there's a big generation of people that came in as Bengals fans. I want to go back to basketball really quick too. One thing that I was really, really big on, like when I was like younger, or whatever, it's like McDonald's All-Americans. I was always like just checking for like who do I think. Like me and my friends, we would go to like I would travel to games and just go see. Like I remember even just me going to travel to go. I lived in North Carolina. I would go travel to go see like John Wall or different people like that. Even before then, like early Bearcats basketball, like DeMar Johnson and all these guys like
Eric
that.
Eric Hicks, Deontay Vaughn, those guys.
Man, that squad, when I went to Cincy last week, I was just telling them about, like, man, what 99 did for my life. Like, I was
Jason Maxill or kind of Steve Logan. Man, don't get me started.
Before then, helicopter. I was with
Melvin Leavitt. My dad was because he went to UC. So,
okay.
Yes, sir.
Sorry to cut you off.
I used to cut off Melvin Leavitt, things from the newspaper because, you know, maybe I don't know how big ESPN was back then. But I used to take newspaper clippings and like put them all on my wall and stuff because I thought I was going to be a McDonald's All-American. Yeah. Talk to me about. So now you were a McDonald's All-American, and I guess just talk to me about like that experience or did that mean as much to you at that time?
So the two most important things, the most important thing to me was Mr. Basketball from state, just from Indiana. Like you live, breathe, eat, and sleep basketball. Like every barn you pass, every house you pass has a basketball hoop. That's just how it is. So that was number one. And I grew up watching like Greg Oden win it, and you know Cody Zeller and all these guys, Gary Harris, all these guys winning, and then going to the league. So that was number one, just for the tradition and where I was from. But number two is definitely McDonald's All-American. Again, all those guys were McDonald's All-Americans, and then you know LeBron, Carmelo, like the national stage of being one of the top 25 or 20 players in the league, in the country, that was pretty significant. It's a fun weekend too. We go to the Ronald McDonald House, which is dope, giving back, going to the community and whatnot. And it was in Chicago, or at least it was when I was there. And then the night before the game is like the 3-point contest and the dunk contest. So I did both of those, and I actually got second in both of those. In the game, I don't think our team won. I don't even remember if we won or not. Like, it was just like the just being there was enough. I don't even know if we won or if I played good or not. But my class is also like one of the better classes in the last 10 years. Like Jason Tatum, De'Aaron Fox, Bam Adebayo, Alonzo Ball, like all these guys are Miles Bridges now is killing. Like all these guys are my class. So
heat. I gotta ask you one question, because you always see these crazy people that come out there and they're like, oh, I could be in the NBA and stuff like that. One question I just want to ask you, just so people can know how great NBA players are, how many shots can you make in a row? Like, if like on average, how many do you just make in a row where it's just like nothing but net? Like, this is easy.
Yeah. I mean, in a row, it's going to be like, for like a really good shooter, it's going to be anywhere from like 10 to 16, 17 in a row, like easy. But we do this 100 club, and dudes are getting it's you make however many shots it takes you to make 100 shots, and we got dudes making 100 out of 112, 100 out of 114. Like it's and the other misconception is like they say that we don't play defense, which isn't true. I mean, I'll give you like game 58 on a back to back on a 6-game road trip. Like dudes are tired, they may not give their full effort for every single play. But it's also just that everyone is just great offensively. It doesn't matter if you play defense. Like, the 11th man on the bench, which is pretty much what I am, like, these dudes will give you buckets at any time.
Super
like,
buckets.
Trey Burke played at Michigan. We just played Dallas last night.
Fast as hell.
Came off the bench. He hadn't played in like 3 games. Came off the bench, had 19 in 18 minutes. Like, just they're ready. Boban Marjanovic, the 7'3" Serbian, same team, hit like 10 points in 7 minutes. Like, everyone is a bucket, and all these guys on Twitter that are trolling. Just let them troll because they can't back it up.
So you don't buy into the narrative. So when you watch like the old guys like Charles Barkley and all them get on TNT, and then they're like, man, we would have put him on his back and all this other stuff like that. And you played Curry what 2 nights ago or something like that?
Yeah,
I think
2 nights ago. Yeah,
like just witnessing somebody like that, or some of the guys. I don't even go A list. I just go like, you know, B, C list. Like some of these guys that you're just saying like everybody's a bucket. Like, how do you feel like it stacks up? I know there's some players like Jordan and the McGrady's the world that translate, but just in general, like, do you feel like you know what I'm saying? Like, do you feel that's an even thing, or is it like more lopsided than what people think?
It's tough because personally, I would say, just my opinion, I'm not right or wrong, but I would say like my generation's a little bit more like skilled down the line. But you also, when you know, Barkley's talking about putting people on their ass, and you know, it was way more physical back then. That's not necessarily the players, that's the refs. Like, it's just ref differently now, and the players adapt to how the game is ref. So, you know, you got James Harden, you know, bobbing his head all the time, or Mike Conley comes off the screen and tries to shoot right away because their arms are like, that's just how those are fouls now, and it's smart basketball to get fouled. So, like, if you said, hey, the 90s refs ref now, then see how it plays out, then we could talk. Or, you know, if these refs were refing in the 80s, then, like, there's just so many variables and different outcomes to how that would play out because of all the moving parts. There's more than just, like, oh, we are more physical or we're more talented. Like, there's a lot more to it. Those dudes back then, 11th and 12th, man, they could get buckets too. I would just personally think, obviously I didn't play back then, so I would just personally think from what my experience is like these guys are a little bit more athletic and a little bit more talented or skilled.
Yeah, definitely. I think you're right. Like the athleticism that we have now, and it's no shot about any of those dudes back in the day. It just evolves with the generations over time. Like even if you look at football, it's kind of the same thing. You start seeing guys like John Ross run 4.22s and crazy mind-blowing stuff like that. But one thing I want to ask you about is, with you being an actual player, who would you say are some of, like, the underrated NBA stars that, like, nobody talks about, but, like, you've seen them or had accounts from other people that were like, this dude is getting buckets. Like, nobody's talking about him.
It's funny you say this. Man, and my teammate Justin James, whenever we're playing another team throughout the season, we like basically make a roster of 10 players that like a little bit underrated. Like, I mean, Damian Lillard's on my list, which he's not underrated anymore, but he's always been like just pushed to the side a little bit. So he's on my, like, we try not to do very many superstars. So like Joe Ingles is on my list from Utah Jazz. Like, he's a hooper. Rui Hachimura from the Wizards, hooper. Who else doesn't get any love? I mean, Steph's not on my team, but just because we're talking about it, like, he's not even in the MVP race. I don't know how that's possible. Like,
you don't think that a lot of good cats. You don't feel like that's changed within like the last week or so? I feel like it's a drastic
maybe.
Change because I feel like right before like this week, it was something I think it was like Bleacher Report. It was some of the right. 4 or 5 finalists. It had Embiid like number 2. I forgot who they had number
Embiid,
1.
They got a dude from the Nuggets, Joker.
Jokic. Yeah, the okay. Joker's yeah. 1 right now. Giannis is 3.
I'm trying
they
to think.
Steph Curry. But they usually they only take Randall in there.
They yeah, only there. Take 3 finalists, like finalists right. at the end of the season. So.
I just think the last week or so, like, Curry's on this crazy run, yeah. though, that I think has changed it a little bit where, I don't know, maybe I pay attention to too many comments, but, like, in the comment section, everybody's like, how's Curry not on this list?
And then Curry from going there, crazy right now.
I mean, and he's going crazy. Like, shoot, yeah. Westbrook going crazy, too. Yeah. Like, you know, like, man, like this, they just had their first loss, like, last night. They had, like, an 8-game winning streak themselves.
Yeah. The next Julius Randle, for sure. Yeah, like you were saying, Julius Randle for sure be on my list.
Right.
I also would put a little bias here, but I would put De'Aaron Fox and Harrison Barnes on there. Like, especially Fox. Like, I don't know how he did it. If he didn't make the All-Star team, fine. But, like, they made it seem like he wasn't even consideration. I was just like,
he's a dog. Fox is a dog.
He's nasty, so
so quick.
So yeah, those are my guys, though.
Talk to me. I guess this is probably my last basketball question, whatever. Like, what is the adjustment like going back from your Virginia days, going from 35 minutes per game to now the rough and tough, you know, on the road, you know, NBA lifestyle? Now, you know, last couple games I've seen that you picked up some minutes, whatever, right? But for us. You know, I'm on the East Coast, so I don't really even see Kings games at all. But, like, you know, like, talk to me about that adjustment. I guess that kind of goes hand-in-hand with, like, you're saying, like, everybody's a bucket. So it's, like, hard to kind of get a little – some time, really.
Yeah, no, you just – it's, you know, I realize it's not up to me. It's just, you know, I just got to be ready. And when my number's called, I got to try to produce and earn a couple extra minutes. I did. It's funny. I went from literally leading the NCAA in minutes played over the course of season to playing in 3 games last year. And I played in like 25, 26 this year in small spurts. So it's definitely an adjustment. Like, it's just how the game is. Like, if I go in and miss 2 shots, I'm probably done. I'm probably done for the night on most nights. Just that's just how it is. But if I hit those 2 shots, maybe I earned a little bit of leeway. So it's definitely adjustment. Like, when we do that 100 club shooting drill that I was telling you about, like, we don't warm up before. We just literally, like, come to the gym 30 minutes before meeting on a game day, and we just start shooting. There's no warm up because, like, I'm coming off the bench. Like, I'm not going to be lathered up and, you know, I've already shot 300 shots right before this, so I'm good. Like, it's just not how it works, so.
No, I see somebody in the comments saying that we know nothing about the Kings. That's not true, bro. De'Aaron Fox is a dog. I know about. I actually
Ace a gambler though, so he know about
card collection. So I got Halliburton here holding it down, and I'm gonna take it even further. I remember Bobby Jackson, Chris Webber, Vlade Divac, Jason Williams, Mike Bibby. Come on now, the Kings used to get off back in the day. Sure.
Those dudes run the city like.
They do, bro. That team was Doug Christie, Page Stojakovic. Come on now.
And they were talking that talk like, yeah, we got them. Like, but do you remember? Like,
they should have beat the Lakers. They should have beat the like. They got cheated.
Big shot,
out of
Bob,
that.
Man. Big shot, Bob.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, bro.
And I'm gonna tell you the other thing too. Ace is the biggest Laker fan that you'll ever meet from a Bengals standpoint.
Really? Well.
So yeah, like that, he's an op for real. The whole time you talking.
Nah, I mean, even as a Laker fan though, like, so when I was out in Cali. where I lived at, they actually showed the Kings games more. And yeah, I was a Kobe fan and Shaq and Lakers fan.
How could you
but
not
that
be, right?
Wrong is just wrong, bro. 2002 was wrong. Like when you see Mike Bibby get elbowed in the face and his nose is leaking and they called a foul on him. Nah, bro, like that, you just can't you just can't do that.
Let me add, all right. I do have one more basketball. The finals this year, who wins in the series next, Lakers?
If the Kings don't make it to the championship.
If the Kings don't make it, I know y'all about to go on what do we got, 15 games left? 18 games?
Yeah, like maybe less. I think it's like
13, I think.
Okay.
I mean, I will never bet against LeBron, so that gives you my answer. I think they have enough rebounding defense, and then him and AD alone, I think they have enough to beat the Nets. Nets are tough though, and my guy Joe Harris from UVA plays there too, so that'd be hard to root against.
Yeah, Joe Harris.
I would just want to see a good series, right. which
I just
want
to see everybody healthy. I want everybody to play. I want everybody to play. That's my biggest wish. Going to the Bengals. Let's get back to football for a second.
Right.
What do you think coming up this upcoming year? You know, you made one of the best points, and I'm gonna think about that a lot after this interview too. Is like this season or this draft isn't going to be defined by the number five pick. But outside of the number five pick, what are some keys that you just see as you're like watching the games, or what do you think has to happen to change? Like, what's going on? We've had like Mike Daniels and different guys that we've interviewed that are really, really about like the attitude in the locker room, different things like that. But are some things that you want to see the Bengals like do better?
Right. Yeah. I mean, definitely Mike Daniels is 100% right. So I came from UVA and Coach Tony Bennett is like, he has that culture on lock. You're not changing it. And if you think you are changing it, you're not going to be there very long. Like that is something that I'll always hold on to, and I think that's why we were so successful. So I would definitely say that. I'll say maybe, like, again, I'm no football coach, but, like, some of our play calling sometimes is just, like, it'll be second and six, and we'll run, like, a reverse flea flicker or something like that. Like, just, like, stuff like that. Or it's second and one, and we just get the first down. Like, let's throw a deep. We didn't really have the deep threat. That's why we're so keen on taking Jamar Chase. But, like, let's try to get something, you know, going down the field. But those would be my two main things, and making sure that we protect Joe at all costs. Like, it's starting to get cliche because everyone's saying it, but it's just, like, the God's honest truth. Like, it doesn't matter what our schemes are. It doesn't matter if we have a good attitude in the locker room or not, if he's not out there. You know what I mean?
All right, so the one thing I got to ask you, which jersey do you like the most? I know we got the new jerseys now. Which one do you like the most out of the black, white, and the orange?
So my favorite part actually is just the pants in general. I really like the pants for all of them. I think I'm old school. Like, the black and orange is just, like, so tough to me. Hard to beat. But a close second would be the whites. The white is that. I mean, even our color rush whites last year were crazy too. So, like,
color rush, you can't lose.
Yeah, you can't lose with those. So I would say black and orange just because that's what most of my jerseys were growing up. And that's like whenever you think of the Bengals, you think of the helmet and then you think of the black jersey.
So, right. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, too, like I said, I was at Paul Brown Stadium last week when they had the jersey unveil.
Right.
And one thing up close, and like you mentioned the pants, the white and orange pants, like they just got like this different kind of gloss to the orange part of it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
As a player, I just think like when they throw them white and the oranges on it, it doesn't really show that good. When I look at pictures, I'm like, dang, it don't look as crazy as I thought it would. But like in person, like the white and orange pants, like they just look, I don't know, something real crazy about them.
Yeah.
Now how they pair them up, I don't know how.
That's what I was just gonna say. I hope they don't do like black top, white bottom, or you know, white and black bottoms. Obviously with the orange you gotta mix it, but I I like the. I think it's so clean. It was black on black and white on white.
I think that black on black on at nighttime, like that prime time game, it's so simple. But like on camera, like just on TV, like the all black at nighttime is going to look so crazy to me.
For sure. Yeah.
That was all I had for you right now. Ace, did you have anything else?
No, I just want to thank you, Kyle, for, you know, being generous with your time. We truly appreciate that, man. Definitely will be talking more Bengals with you, online, offline, whatever. It was just a dope conversation, and I'm glad that you came out here and hung with us, bro. Glad to have someone like you in Hootay Nation, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate it, guys. Hootay always.
Tell everybody where they can find you at, too, because there's a lot of people that just only watch football that never even seen a basketball. Right. Somebody messaged me and said, what is basketball? Like, that's how crazy our football fans, because, you know, it'd be people in here from Germany and all types of countries and stuff over here. They'd be like, bro, like, what's going on? So tell everybody, like, where they can find you at on, like, Twitter, Instagram.
Yeah, at Kyle J Guy for both. Yeah, I'm pretty active on Instagram and Twitter, actually. I like to argue about football on Twitter, so I do that.
Oh yeah.
And then basketball. I mean, now on Instagram, you know, I post a lot of basketball stuff and my bangles. I mean, the Burrow baby, that was an Instagram vid. So
yeah, that's where I saw it. I'm on Instagram posting. Heavy. That's what I saw. Yeah. So now I got 2 days to convert you over to Team Chase. So I got you on Twitter. I'm gonna be at your neck for the next 2 days.
The crazy thing, I'm more worried.
You want Chase?
I want to score.
We both want him.
I hope 1 through 4 just takes care of the problem for me.
Right.
Either take Chase or take Sewell, so I don't have to stress, and I just like happy with the decision. You know what I mean?
It's not. I'm telling you right now, the only thing that's gonna happen is either gonna be Kyle Pitts at number 4. Or it's gonna be a quarterback at number 4, and then it's gonna leave Chase and Sewell sitting right.
Even if they say they're gonna trade Julio,
they're not gonna do it before the draft because of the cap hit. They got to do that afterwards. So
don't mean they couldn't take Chase. They could figure that out later.
It does not make sense for them. Don't you talk to don't you get me off my stance right here? All right, it does not make sense. I've already sold everybody in the whole world on Team Chase. So don't mess this up for me right now.
I think even if that were to happen, I think the Bengals were still going Chase, like, no matter what. And somebody in the chat here, I don't know how true it is, he claims that he talked to somebody close to the staff and they said that it's Chase at 5.
They've been saying it's Chase at 5, though. We got a couple affiliates. That. It's a couple affiliates. I got some people that work out at Joe's Gym. I got a lot of different people that I talk to that I feel as though feel like it's been Chase for a while.
I saw you reposted something saying that Sewell wasn't that good. Do you it was an article. You didn't actually say it. Do you think he's a bust?
No. I feel like Sewell, if he was in last year's draft, he would have been a third tackle taken behind Andrew Thomas and worse. I also feel like he's not generational. So a lot of people thought that generational term, the only thing that's generational about him is his body type or whatever. But as far as like skill and everything like that, I think he's going to have a lot of bad reps in the NFL. And I'm ready for those growing pains. And I think he would be the best offensive lineman on our team. But how that translates to wins, I just don't think it happens fast enough.
Yeah.
If you've been in the Indianapolis area and you know how the Colts did it, to me it'd be go get Sewell, then come back second round, go get the Alabama kid Leatherwood, and just go get a top 10 offensive line, and we block the hell out of everybody. But yeah, I don't think they're going to
do that with Quentin Nelson. Oh my God,
right? So they did it with Quentin Nelson so and Brett, and that's another point. He's not Quentin Nelson. He's not. He's nowhere near.
I mean, they play two different positions. You're not gonna read
no article of any scout, anybody telling you he's anything like.
But he won the Allen Trophy at 19. He won the Allen Trophy at 19. Who did that?
Three positions. He wasn't just playing tackle or just guard. He had couple snaps at center. You know what I mean?
Right. I feel you. I think for me, what makes him generational. It's just like with Kyle Pitts. You talk about his wingspan, his physicals, the physical attributes of Panay being 330 pounds and moving that fast. That's what I think is why people consider him generational. And then for him to win the Outland Trophy, which is the best lineman in the nation at 19, that's just not normal. But is he Quentin Nelson? Nah, because Quentin Nelson is like the guard of a lifetime. Like before Quentin Nelson, we didn't see guards going in the top ten.
He's the only lineman I've ever like sat down and watched highlights of. Right before Sewell, just because I wanted to know about Sewell, but like watching Quentin Nelson, I was like, wow, this dude's nice.
Go watch Tristan Wirfs. The reason why Baker Mayfield isn't touched or whatever, like go watch Wirfs. Like go watch.
He's talking about not Wirfs. Other kid from Alabama.
The guy that the Browns just got.
Oh, Jedrick Wills.
Jedrick Wills. I don't even think he's better than that, in my opinion. But when you go watch Quentin Nelson, yeah, absolutely pancaking, just jumping all on people. Like it looks insane. Like watching highlights. And then when you watch Sewell, I mean his arms are like this the whole entire time, guys. Like, you know, y'all haven't got over
the people on the ground. Come on now.
I'm messing with y'all, man. He be in his pictures like this,
like
though,
a T-Rex.
All his pictures be like this, or he throwing up like that. He be with the gang and everything, throwing up. Like y'all really want that? I really want him throwing up his little gang signs. They be like this.
Yeah, I saw him putting on them J's. I was like, I'm good.
he had the MJ jersey. Oh, you know what I was going to ask you, Kyle? The other day, or what did you say that yesterday? You said Rod Wave hit different at night. I need to find out who are you currently listening to right now? Because I'm not a Rod Wave fan, but I just want to know who are you currently listening to like right now? Like if I handed you the aux cord right now, who are you playing?
Yeah, I'm playing for sure Rod Wave, especially that new album. And it does hit differently at night. Maybe you should try that. Maybe that's what the setting you need to be in to listen to him. Window down.
I probably need your car too.
Window down. Heat on. You said heat on.
Window at night, past 8 p.m. Windows down with the heat on, real light heat, so you don't get too cold. Just soul fly the way through.
Okay.
And then Russ, I listen to Russ a lot. He be talking real shit, which I enjoy. And I'm big in reggae, so I listen to I listen to a lot of Hawaiian reggae, which is probably why I have a slight bias to Panay just being Samoan and whatnot. So
okay, you gotta put me on the like I listen to reggae like old reggae like
nah, that's lit though.
Like yeah, like you gotta put me on to some of that because I'm always expanding my playlist, so I need some of that honestly.
Yeah, those are my, right. But the first two that's pretty much all I've been listening to lately.
Ace, what does that say right there? I'm Team Chase. What do you want to read that from Henry?
Oh, my bad. I thought you were making a joke.
No. I was reading
Henry Kershaw, $10 super chat. Appreciate you, bro. I am Team Chase, but I also want Cornell Powell in the fifth round. He can come in and play right away because the fall off after Boyd, Higgins, and Chase is considerable.
Me and Ace agree on a wide receiver, Darden. I watched him over the weekend. Yeah. So if you get a chance to go check him out, small, real, super, super shifty guy. Because one thing that Bengals, just piggybacking off of what you said earlier, they need to not just win just the number five pick, but they need a replacement for Alex Erickson. They also need a kicker, which nobody's talking about at all.
Right.
And then they lost a lot of key guys on special teams that I guess they're thinking that they're going to take the next step up, but there's going to be some special teams replacements that are going to come in round six and seven as well.
I'm going to tell you my round three through seven sleepers.
Let's go. Let's go.
But first off, let me spoiler alert. They are all by. I know them. They're from Indiana or they're from UVA, but they're good players. I'm not going to say this. So Rondale Moore from Purdue.
Okay.
The little wide receiver.
He's 5'7", though. He's 5'7".
He is 5'7", but he's stocky. Okay. I mean, what was Alex Harrison? 5'9"?
Yeah.
But you say
Andrew Hawkins. Andrew Hawkins.
Baby Hawk, go up. But hold on. What round you say Rondale Moore?
Probably somewhere in the 3 to 6. Maybe push gonna, 3, but 4
no
to 6.
No way. No way he can go that long. He's going to go way before then, bro.
You think? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then that's fine. That's fine. I got Cam McGrone, the linebacker from Michigan. He went to my high school. Charles Snowden, outside linebacker. He's 6'8" from UVA.
Yep.
He will fall to 4 through 6 probably because he got hurt and he didn't play much. The one kid that they're saying that he went to school on my street, that same school as Terry McLaurin, Pete Werner from Ohio State, the linebacker, they're saying he's going to be a late first now. He was like in mock drafts, he was like third, fourth round. Now they're saying like after all that is like a late first. And then lastly, Bear Dokes, running back from UC. He went to my high school. I went to high school with him. We're the same age. That would be a running back. We need another Geo, you know what I mean? That would be a nice. He can catch, he can run. So those are my biased sleepers.
We gotta put that. Hey, look, when I put this out there, whatever, when I put this clip out here, it's going to just start right at that. We're going to go straight into that right there, and I'm going to let everybody know this is Kyle Guy's picks, and we're behind this, and we're going to put this out for the world. So when they draft them, now everybody's going right. to be pointing at you if they're a bust or not. So we got to make sure we put the pressure on you with that.
I like pressure.
You saw hope you've done your homework.
But Kyle, again, we just want to thank you for being gracious with your time representing Who Dey Nation. Was there anything you wanted to say before we get out?
Bro!
Yeah.
Bro, baby!
All right, Zim, thank you, guys.
Appreciate y'all.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you guys for listening to the Orange is a New Black podcast. And of course, we'll end this with a yes.
Bursky!
Hello, world. What separated your deep ball from everybody else?
My deep ball, it has a little secret sauce to it, man.
I never get too high, never get too low, but just keep moving.
The whole story is Carlos never.